Hey, I'm Karen.
And I'm Aubrey.
And this is Chick Lit, a literature comedy podcast where we enjoy getting lit and talking about books that spoke to us as young adults.
Yeah, Book It was dope as fuck.
Yeah, I did
used to get
it.
The little personal pan pizza.
Yes! Oh my god.
Just for you. Yeah, nobody can take that shit, dog. But we also cover movies with special guests, and it can get pretty crazy.
I'll make a controversial statement. I will take this over Space Jam.
Is that controversial?
People love Space Jam.
We might have to stage a fight.
So if you enjoy YA fiction, that fool of a fairy, Lucinda, did not intend to lay a curse on me. She meant to bestow a gift.
Boozy beverages.
Little shot of Bailey's in your coffee. Coffee, pizza, and Bailey's goes together like...
Doesn't go together. Like
it doesn't go together at all. And the power of friendship... I'll be like, I bought your Christmas present. And she'll be like, what'd you get me? I have to know.
Tell me right
and
now.
And I'm like,
Henry
no.
Henry gets so irritated because I'm like, do you want your present now? And he's like, it's like October. No, I don't. Then we're the podcast for you.
We've been best friends for over a decade. So join in on the fun and grab a drink, y'all. January 6th at 1:15 p.m., the day that Dry January died.
Hey, it's Dan from the Pop Culture Hootenanny Podcast, and I just want to give you a little intro breakdown of what our show is. We're kind of a movie review podcast. We talk about random nonsense that comes up from the backstories, behind-the-scenes stories, and whatever else we want to talk about during our episodes. Here's a few clips to check us out.
Why do we cheer on, and this is a question for what we can discuss right now, why do we cheer on sociopaths in movies where we know that they're doing wrong in almost every single way?
Because we like the hijinks that ensue.
Because we like the hijinks that ensues, right?
Art and Tony.
Art and Tony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're the best written characters. Right? You know what I mean? Like, she's trying to make amends and saying the kids would love to have you over, and I would love to have you over. And then as soon as he gets that okay, he just starts digging into the fact that she changed her name, right? And I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. This is the 80s. Changing your name in the 80s is kind of a big fucking statement.
We have so many jaded tropes in our head. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are certain movies that will try to make something look serious. And for a younger generation, it might be their version of, let's say, Arnold calling out the Predator.
Welcome to an undisclosed location. We are Murder Incorporated.
Give me one good reason why people should listen to our podcast, buddy.
Because you're getting true crime from a nerd and a murderer's son all wrapped into one.
Yes, my father is a murderer, and you are indeed a nerd, buddy.
What else sets us apart, Harley?
I truly believe our empathy for the victims and their families shines through every episode.
Also, 100% of all our listeners have not been murdered.
We are Murder Incorporated.
Warning, please be aware that the views on this podcast are limited to the individual or individuals that are speaking and only pertain to them as it relates to the topic at hand. They are limited to time, date,
voter registration district, favorite kind of chocolate bar, top hats or ball caps, and whether Saturn, Mercury, and Uranus are in alignment with the sun on the fifth day of the seventh month in the year of the eagle while you're riding your motorbike backwards up a hill.
Thank you for your understanding. Goodbye.
You're listening to the Manic Pixie Weirdo. I'm Abigail, your host, and this is the podcast where we talk about all the different kinds of relationships that we have in our lives. And this week, we are joined by Shepard and Aaron from the Deep Meaningful Conversations podcast. I'm really excited to talk to them about it. We're talking about our relationship with reality and kind of what it means and just all the things. So go ahead and say hi.
Hey, everybody. Abigail, thanks for having us.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate it.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk to you guys. Do you want to tell everybody where they can find you and like that kind of stuff?
Of course, of course. And first of all, I mean, I just want to get there. I really want to thank you again. I mean, I've been looking forward to this. I listen to a lot of your shows, and so hopefully we can bring some good content to you. But yes, you can find us anywhere podcasts are available at Deep Meaningful Conversations or at DM Combo. Find us on Instagram, Linktree, Apple, everywhere. We are there.
Yeah. Okay, that's all right. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm really excited to talk to you guys. So we're talking about reality. And first, I think, because we're talking about our relationship with reality and sort of what that means, I have a confession to make. I cheated. I cheated. I listened to your most recent episode on truth, and it really got like my gears in my brain like going. And so I kind of piggybacked off of your conversation about truth that you did in your most recent episode, and that's how we got to reality.
Okay.
Because I thought you guys had some really good points. And you guys really went, you know, deep, like your podcast name, into like what truth is and can there be multiple truths, like that kind of thing. And it started getting me thinking about reality. Because I think reality is much like truth in the way that you guys were talking about, where, you know, like, especially with the political climate and everything being what it is right now, it feels like there are multiple different realities that people are living in. And it can be really hard to, you know, kind of figure out, you know, that all encompassing question of what is reality, like what is real, what is not, kind of a thing. So do y'all have a definition for what reality is, or like, what are your thoughts just like on that in general?
I mean, I think honestly, that's reality is what you make it.
Yeah.
You know, it's what you believe, and it depends on who you ask, right? But at the end of the day, I mean, you even talk to some doctors, right? The mind can make things so real it becomes real, right? So I would say it's probably really whatever you believe it is. If you really believe it enough, that is your reality.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, we can be in the same situation and see it from a different perspective. And so for each one of us, even though we saw the same exact thing, we perceive it different ways. And so for that, even in the same situation, our realities can be different.
Okay. See, I went like way far down the rabbit hole and I started looking. sorry, go ahead. What?
No, we're here for you. I want to hear this. I want to hear the rabbit hole. I'm trying to jump into that.
No, yeah. I went very far down the rabbit hole. And I started pulling like philosophy and like trying to figure out like what other people in the past have decided that reality is. And most everything that came up was from Western cultures. Like philosophy speaking, and it was all based on the senses, but I don't like to exclusively talk in Western cultures because I feel like it's just really overdone. But even in like Eastern cultures and in parts of Africa, and you know, like East Asian cultures as well, it all seems to be related to like your senses. That's how people have defined reality throughout. But then I started to think, well, okay, but now we have to figure out what's the difference between a dream and a reality. Because I've had dreams that feel real. Like when you're in them, they feel real. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody has had at least one dream where they've like had that. So I came up with the definition for a dream as: a dream is a concept that operates in a plane of existence without consequences. But a reality is the physical state of a concept that exists in a plane with consequences.
Okay. And I could see that. I could see that. And I don't know. So can I tell a weird story? Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
so this is interesting. So and really, when we talked about reality, and when you told me like this is kind of what we're going to get into, I was kind of excited, because I do feel that there are multiple planes, and I really didn't get into this until I was a lot younger. I would say I was probably about 19, and I was working in a restaurant. I was living in Hawaii, and I was working in a restaurant over there, and we had this guy who was a lot more, I guess, spiritual in nature, like as in one with the world, if you will. And I told him, because sometimes every now and then I would walk to work, you know, walk along the beach and everything else that was you know, just my normal path I do like once a week. And as I was walking to work, I saw a lady walking the small white dog, just walking the small dog. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, it was a nice looking dog. It was a little unique. It was kind of like, it was weird because it looked like a, it was like a poodle, but it wasn't a poodle. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I looked back and the woman was there, but the dog was gone. Like, gone.
That's right? So weird. That's so cool, though.
And so I was like, what? Like, what? And I kept double taking. And so when we were setting up the restaurant, I was telling him about this, and he was like explaining to me how there's a bunch of different realities, like all going along this one plane. And there's times, like, if you're super in tune with yourself, where you can like punch through and see like the same reality, but slightly different. Like, it's like a different reality on the same plane happening.
You know?
It's great. And so I was like, really? And so I really started to dive in deep and like kind of read about it and everything else. And I don't know, it was cool. That's kind of what like took me on that guided path to say, like, maybe there are a lot of things happening that we just really aren't in tune with, you know, and trying to figure out how can I tie into, be able to, I don't know, it sounds kind of weird, but jump between those planes, right? To kind of,
oh yeah,
it's there.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, have you heard of the Mandela effect?
Yes, I'm not super, super versed on it, but yes.
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not super, super versed on it either. I'm not entirely sure how I feel about it, the way that, like, it's been explained and the what I've, like, looked into it, but I feel like it's a thing. Like, I believe that, yeah.
Oh, no, for sure. And, like, it's interesting because one of the other things that he had kind of, when we had a conversation, diving deeper into it, and it's held true, and I don't know how true this is, but he was basically telling me, like, whenever you have deja vu, right? Like, whenever you'd have a deja vu feeling, it's your mind experiencing a different plane that's like guiding you through your future. Or like, that's how, that's where you're supposed to be. And it's crazy because, like, I'm not kidding you. Like, there has been times in the past where I've had like this feeling and I've seen these things or whatever. And then it happens in the future and it creates like a deja vu. And it's not perfect for me. Like, I haven't been able to really experience like the full on effect that he was telling me about. But then, like, I get this reassurance of, like, this is where I'm supposed to be in life, because I had this thought of this exact moment, you know, back 10 years or wherever, right? So, I don't know. I'm still exploring that a little bit, but I kind of use that as a guideline, and it's like a marker, and it seems to kind of hit me when I need it most to say, like, is this where I'm supposed to be? And then I'll get, like, this deja vu feeling, and I'm like, yeah, this place right here, right now, like, this is it. You know?
Oh yeah, I've had that too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I get that. It's almost like a premonition, but like in your own, like, it's not as big, you know, like people think of like premonitions as like these like massive world events that affect a whole bunch of people. Like, right. That's not what that feeling is for me. It's more like, it's just like that self-reassurance is like, oh no, okay. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing right now. Like, this is, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And it's not on like a massive scale, like it's just me.
but that's okay though, right?
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with that, because on a small level for me, I've seen, like, I have full color vision sometimes, right? And that they you know, I can see it almost in full color. It's not a dream. I'm actually standing and I can see something and I can visually understand it. And then when I see it in natural, then it makes me, it says exactly what you just said. I know that I'm supposed to be here because I had a vision of it. I had a perception of it prior to now. And so I'm eased at that point, to know that, okay, this is the right place at the right time.
Yeah. No, I get that. I guess I'm not going to say all the time, because that's not entirely truthful, but I've gotten that at many different points in my life. And I think everybody to a certain extent has that. I feel like you just have to sort of be open to that experience.
Right.
Because if you're not open to it, then like it sort of means nothing.
Right.
But
do you find, like, is there something for you that you do to channel into that? Like, is there something that works for you where you feel like you can really tie into that, or you can kind of control that or bring it on when you need it?
Yes. And it's not like one thing. So sometimes I get it when it usually happens in like an extreme, when I'm in an extreme position. So I'm either like alone and I just all of a sudden start having like trains of thought about things. And then I can like see it like a movie in my mind, like what's happening and how all of the, and like what are all the possible outcomes of this situation? Like if I were to choose this path, this is what would happen. But it can also happen in like the other extreme where I'm with like a whole bunch of people, which is like the worst place ever for me because I have really bad anxiety and I like
you both
can't do it. But it does happen like in those. It's usually in one of those extreme positions where I'm either like completely isolated or I'm like surrounded by a whole bunch of people. And it's not like. Like in movies, I feel like if it were to be portrayed in a film or like a television show, it's usually kind of drawn out where like it feels like, oh, my gosh, that was like 15 minutes. That's not how I have experienced it. It's usually pretty rapid and fast. And I kind of have to like keep going. And then I get really tired afterward because it's like my brain had like a spike and all of my energy was used
for that
during this moment, and then I get like really tired and really like irritated for no reason. And it's just like just very drained, just very like I can't do this.
Crazy.
Is that how like it happens for you, or like either one of you, like is it, have you had those experiences?
For me, I do want to ask you a question about that because you said something that triggered. But for me, it's very similar. And I'm curious if that's almost like a conduit into tapping into it because of, I don't know how the, I mean, I'm not a neurosurgeon. I don't know how the brain works or anything, right? But for me, it's the same way. It's either I have basically it, my meditation room, AKA my walk-in closet, and I close the door because right. Cause it's dark and the clothes dampen the sound, whatever. But, if I get into a point where I go in there and I'm alone and I kind of like, it's weird. Cause I get this feeling like I'm about to melt into the floor, and then I can have that experience where I have that deja vu experience. But also, high stress situations, right? Like I don't like being much because I hate people. But I just do. But in those situations also it triggers it, right? And I don't know if it's either a completely relaxing of the mind or a really hyperactive mind that allows that to happen. But it for me it's the deja vu. And it's interesting because like you say, like you have this thing where you can like see the paths. That's cool. Like I would love to be able to get to that because for me it's only like it's like a glimpse of time. And even though it happens fast, it's kind of like that life flashes before your eyes. So I get like a very long period of time, or long is relative, but in a very short, rapid, quick, like boom, hit, and it's there. Like I can't hold it and stay in it and navigate that plane to kind of see if I do this, this is what happened. If I do that, that will happen. Like I can get the feeling of things, like if there's something that I'm really thinking about, or you know, something I have to make a decision on, I get like this weird, almost like butterfly warm feeling if I should do it or shouldn't do it, but it's like vague, like I don't get to see all the consequences, and I want to, but
oh no, you don't.
No, no. But you said you've been able to navigate that. So just curious, like, have you had an experience where you navigate it and you go down one path, you say, if I go down this path, this is what's going to happen. Like, have you been able to, is it like you go down that path and you're able to change it, or does it happen that way regardless?
Well, here's the thing. The problem with that is that I haven't been able to navigate how, when I like, so when I operate on that plane, when that happens, I sort of, the best way I know how to describe it is like, you're very high and then you like drop back down to like this reality that we currently live in with like other people, where like I would, like what I would do if other people, like there are consequences for the actions. So in that, and when you involve other people into it, I have noticed that there is a lot of pushback. So if I were to like say, hey, if I do this, then these are the potential consequences, because I don't know for a fact that that is what's going to happen. It's more of just like an educated guess. So it's like a hypothesis of like, if I choose to go, then these are the potential consequences. Obviously, I'm not omniscient. I can't see everything. It literally just, it's very selfish because it's like only pertains to like me. And then I have to decide basically like, what can I live with?
Right.
And first of all, people think that you're crazy because people are like, no, but that won't happen. But that's like not right. Like that's not, that wouldn't be what happens. And it really doesn't matter how many times you're kind of like, but no, like this is most certainly for sure, like how this goes. Because I can see it. Like I can see all of the like potential consequences that could happen. And I am a pretty negative brained person, meaning that I generally focus on like, what are the potential bad things that could happen if I were to do this or go down this path? So I very rarely am able to see like the good, just like normally. And I think because I tend to focus on like the bad things, the people around me are kind of like, yeah, but you're just being like a negative Nancy. Like that's not, like all of these other good things could potentially happen. And I'm like, yeah, no, but like there's bad. Like this is a bad. This is not good. We should not do this. And I had to learn how to, I had to learn kind of when to let other people sort of take the reins and like make, because it doesn't just pertain to me. Sometimes like it can project out to people that are close to me. And it can be very, like, it's a very gray area in the sense that, like, I don't know how much, because it's not just my life here. Like, this affects other people. So you kind of have to figure out a way to, like, tiptoe around, like, they are their own person. They can make their own choices. And I'm just here for a long, like, along for the ride.
Right.
And that can be very painful. That can be very, very painful. It can be very, very overwhelming, especially when you're going, I told you this would happen. Like, this is what, like, we are in it now. I told you that this could happen and we did it anyway. And then it's like, cause then I have trouble being like, you know, when people are like, well, I didn't know, it didn't occur to me. Like, I thought you were just being extreme. And it's like, I had to be able to filter out and learn how to be like, yeah, but you did know, because like I told you, and I like presented you with all the consequences that could potentially have happened. And we both, because I'm not absolved from that too, especially if I'm like along for the ride, like I went along with you knowing full well the potential things that could happen and I did it anyway. And so that's kind of, there's a fine balance. There's a very fine balance that has to be walked there.
So in those, for me. In those situations where you go along with someone who knows who you know is just not going to work out well. What is their response on the back end of it? You know, when you say, yeah, I told you this, this is how it was going to work out. Is there now a level of confidence that is built in you at that point, or how did that work out?
Well, that has to be, that's something that that's work that I have to do, because I can't put that on somebody else. I don't feel like I can. I don't feel like that's entirely fair if I put it on somebody else. So that's something that I have to work on, where it doesn't really, I've sort of come to the acceptance and the place of acceptance where it's like, I sort of did all that I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it anyway. And so now it's more like, okay, so I know that I was right. And guess what? Being right is not always good. There have been so many times in my life where I have been like, please prove me wrong. Please. I don't know if you get that, but
for sure.
Yeah, there are a lot of times I'm just like, please, I want to be wrong. I need to be wrong. And I'm not. There are times when I am. There are definitely times when I am, and that's a really good feeling. But the times that I'm right and it doesn't feel great, I have to kind of remove myself and be very, it gives me confidence. I don't know how much confidence it gives them.
Got it.
Like in me, but it gives me the confidence of like, no, you saw this correctly. You were thinking about this correctly. You might still be crazy, but you weren't wrong.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what, you get hit with a lot, right? I think anytime that we present anything that is what someone consider outer worldly or something that they maybe just not or they're not well versed in, you always get hit with crazy before anything else, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's how do you, I guess for me, cause I've kind of like you, I kind of, I don't know. I guess I keep it more to myself now, and I try my best to not intervene if I see something or feel something or whatever. Like, how do you break it? Like, how do you break it to these people? Like, if you see something and you know it's going to be a negative consequence, like, do you come up and be like, all right, guys, I've had a vision? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do you come across to them? Right? Because they want to know, like, what are you talking about? How did you get that? And for me, mostly I tell them, this is what I see. And they're like, you're stupid.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, when I was a lot younger, I didn't really know how to filter that out.
Right.
I didn't really know, like, I'm still working on, like, emotional regulation and, like, filtering stuff out and being like, okay, maybe that's not what we should say, or maybe that's not how I should say it or something. But as I got older, I learned that, like, I love history. I absolutely love history. It's like one of my favorite things ever. I'm a complete weirdo. Like, it's totally fine. But I learned that if I gathered, like, information, so everything has been done before. Like, there's very little, if anything at all, that I have realized that is, like, new or unique or unique to this, like, this experience that we are having in present day. I can generally find somebody somewhere at some point in history that has circumstances that look similar to what is going, like, what I'm seeing now. And so what I found is that, like, if I go and I find sort of, like, resources, get, like, a bibliography in place and I'm like, okay, hey, so, like, you want to do this. Right. Cool. So there was a dude that did that before, a long time ago. And this is what he did. And it didn't work. So I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying learn from what he did and don't do it that way. like, try something else.
Right.
I don't know. I have to kind of, so I feel like it almost gives me a little bit more credibility instead of just me being like, I had this premonition and like a god and, you know, but listen to me. I know what I'm talking about, but just trust me. Like, that's kind of bullshit, I feel like. So, because I'm not any of those things at all. It's just something that happens.
You are, and you just haven't realized yet.
Well, I do believe that, like, we all have divinity within us. Like, every human being has divinity within them, and they can tap into that. So I don't think it's, like, exclusive to me. Like, it's not something that, like, only I can do.
Right.
It's something that we all have the capacity to do. It's just sort of either in different ways or on different planes. And it resonates differently with every person. So you kind of have to figure out, like, how to tap into that divinity within yourself, for yourself. It's a pretty isolating thing, I think, for each individual person. But I don't think that, like, it's just exclusive to, like, me and, like, a couple of other people. Like, definitely something that we all have.
Right, for sure. But it's interesting. I'm curious because, I mean, obviously we are very different people. Very different backgrounds, very different, you know, whatever. I'm wondering because it is in everybody, but what do we share that makes us able to, I guess, tap into that a little more? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I kind of feel like it's empathy. I really feel like it has a lot to do with, like, there are two things that all human beings have in common, and that is the capacity to have empathy and love and fear. Those are the two things that, like, because we're animals, and so we all have the capacity to fear and that strive to survive. And I think that's not exclusive to human beings. It's true for pretty much any living thing. And I think that being able to tap into those things and really sort of, like, reverse engineer what's going on helps, because it helps me at least, like, anticipate you know, what's going to happen, and it helps me see things more clearly. So it's like, okay, well, if I see this happening, like, what are the potential reasons why that, like, what would motivate somebody to do this? And then really trying to, like, get in their shoes and, like, have a feel for that. I think that's pretty common. I mean, and you know, there's been studies that show that, you know, like, people who have, like, emotion, like, if you have any sort of emotional intelligence at all, you're just better at being empathetic and, like, connecting with people. And I just, as I do, I go overboard and just take it to an extreme with, like, a lot of people.
Right. No, it's weird. And first of all, I want to thank you for saying, you said something, you said, we're animals. I appreciate that so much, because I've used that before, and people, we're not animals, we're civilized human beings. Yeah, exactly. But that kind of makes me wonder, though, too, because at that point, like, obviously we have evolved over time, right, to what we are right now. But when I think about, like, if I think about animals, man, like, animals are so in tune to things that we're not even aware of, right? Like, they can pick up
their senses,
right? They can see things we can't see. They can feel things we can't hear, things we can't hear. They can, you know, predict when the weather's coming. You know, they can predict if there's something wrong in your body or, like, whatever else. I mean, could it also be our animal side that never went away? Maybe that's tapping into that. I don't know. Tapping into that other world, that other spectrum, the other plane.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I think so. I mean, you mentioned that, like, people say, you know, we're not animals, we're civilized humans. Are we, though? I don't believe that humans are the end-all and be-all of existence. Like, we can't be. There's just no way. It's not possible. And if it is, that's super depressing. Like, that's horrible.
You're having a bad
night. For me. For me, that's, like, super depressing. And, like, I just can't think about it like that because it's just like, well, then nothing matters. Awesome. Cool. But I don't think... So, okay. I don't know how you guys feel about, like Judeo-Christianity, or if you are religious in any way or whatever, but it's not really important. I don't really, like, it doesn't really matter to me. It's a personal choice. It's really none of my business. But there is a, you know, a line in the Bible. It's the Beatitude. And it's like, you know, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And I kind of think that that's just what, that's the world that we live in. So, like, human beings are supposedly on top. We're the first. We're the, you know, if there are people that believe that we are the end all and be all. But we're not. And so if we are on top, let's just buy into the premise and say we are on top. Okay, like, this, we are the top of the food chain. It doesn't get any better than this. We are the greatest.
Right.
We suck at taking care of the people that are lax, and not even the people, but, like, Earth in general and, like, animals. Like, we're just terrible at it. So I really think that we, and there have been so many studies and, like, just science, all the scientific research that shows that, like, nature is the most complex like, entity that we can study and observe. And a lot of things that human beings create are based upon nature. So, like, airplanes, they're based on birds and certain, like, marine life. Everything that we build that has, like, groundbreaking influences and consequences, good or bad, we built based upon something that we saw in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so why in the world would we think that it is okay for us to treat what we would perceive as lesser with any sort of contempt or disdain or neglect? Because if you buy into the idea that, like, the first shall be last and the last shall be first, we are very much on the path of, like, being last. Like, we are screwing things up so bad that we are 100% about to be on the bottom again.
Yeah, so, I mean, those things that kind of taps into my thought process when you talk about that is that, you know, I think we've lost our, we've utilized our choice, and our choices have been wrong in a lot of places. And because when you look at nature operates as if this is its only choice. You know, when I love watching, you know, animal shows. So I'm a National Geographic Cat Week fanatic, you know, and I love watching it. But there was one of the shows where there was a lioness who was charging, right? And everybody knew their position. Everybody knew what they were supposed to do. And it was out of instinct. She got hurt in the process. Well, all she did was rest. She rested for like 3 or 4 days. And, you know, there was this dramatic conversation in the back, and, you know, they were talking about how they didn't expect her to live, but all she did was rest and the body healed itself. And so I think that our choices have caused us to separate ourselves from that ability for us to tap into something greater than what we do today.
Yes. I like that. I totally agree. So, like, what about, how do you, both of you, how do you sort of rectify, like, your reality? Because we've already said that, like, multiple realities can exist. And, like, every individual reality is unique to the individual or the species. Do you think that there is a possibility that, like, they can, all of these realities can exist, but there's a dominant reality? And just because it's dominant doesn't necessarily mean it's good or it's right. It's just the dominant reality. Is there even such a thing? Or are there too many realities for there to be a dominant one?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. And I guess for me, I sometimes question that. I think that they all play out together at one time. And I can see, like I said, by having the feelings that I have and seeing the things that I see, I think I'm able to kind of, for me, help myself navigate through the reality. But it's weird. And what I mean by that is, like, there's some things that happen where I'm like, if I'm basing off of this one current reality that I'm in right now, like, there's no way what just happened should have happened and it worked out, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it did. So I feel like it's, for me, I feel like all those realities, all those different levels, whether it's, you know, vertically or horizontally, that we're playing through them, for me, I feel they all play in together into one. And even though it's one, it's technically all, right? It's all parts of a greater existence. And it's just so many things. You know, if I'm working, if I'm outside or whatever, and I manage to, something tells me I need to duck, and I duck, right? And something flies over my head. You know, why, where did that come from, right? Where did I see that or whatever it is? You know, I think that's, I don't know, I kind of feel like I can, myself talks to myself subconsciously from a different reality. Like, another reality, there, I'm standing there and I'm seeing, you know, that rock flying towards my forehead, and I'm saying, dude, get down. Get down. So I do, like, it's kind of like we exist in the same plane for me, and we're like, there could be a million of me, and we're all watching out for me. If that
makes sense. Yeah.
As we navigate through. So I don't know. That's just kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, for me, it's rooted in, I am Christian, and for me, it's rooted in those moments where I can kind of get away, meditate, and then be able to tap into, you know, that spiritual side that's down on the inside, I believe, that begins to speak in different ways and in different situations. And so for me, it's all a plan that comes together. And there's been so many situations where, like Shepherd just shared, you know, where something just, it doesn't make natural sense. There's no way it should have worked out that way. But the fact that it did, you know, for me, it talks about that supernatural kind of, that rest down on the inside, and that's always operating at all times. And then, you know, when the last is first and the first is last, there was a positioning for that, and there was a reality for that, and we grew into it. It didn't just happen by happenstance.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I feel like we sort of, well, see, I don't actually know. I don't know if humans were always supposed to be on top, or if we just collectively decided that this is how we wanted it to go and nature just adapted itself, like a chicken or the egg situation. I don't know.
Yeah. Here's a question, and I've thought about this too, and it kind of ties into kind of what you're saying a little bit. I sometimes question if we, from day to day, whether it's day to day or week to week, however you want to view it in a span of time, are we ever in the same reality? And what I mean by that, and maybe this is going way too far crazy, right? But you know, have you ever been like in your house or whatever, or you wake up and say like something is not where it normally is, or something is not where it normally should be, or that wasn't where you remember it being? Like, I don't remember that being there, but it's there, right? And it's just you. Could that be, you know, we jump to different versions of ourselves in different realities? So, you know, we may live in the same house with the same stuff and 100 different realities, but it's set up slightly different, or something's moved. And as we navigate through those planes, you know, one day we wake up as, you know, I'm Shepherd one today, and then tomorrow I'm Shepherd two, and life is still similar, but
yeah,
a little different.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. And I think that the reason that that can be true is, so again, I go really far down the rabbit hole, and I love philosophy and I love world religions. And string theory is actually not a new idea. It's very, very old. It, you know, has roots back in, you know, in the Jewish community. They have a very holy, sacred book called the Zohar, which, if anybody out there can get me a copy of it, please, I want one. but they basically talk about, in there are parts in that book that talk about like the metaphysical planes of existence and how that is possible, how we can, like from a physics standpoint, and like metaphysics being, you know, like the study of essentially things greater than ourselves, the universe. And it talks about that, how like that is a thing that can happen. I mean, I have memories of things where I'm like, even recently, where I wake up and I'm like, it's Wednesday, but yesterday was Monday. And I know that yesterday was Monday because I did all the things on my Monday calendar, but then it's like Tuesday never existed. And it's like, I don't even remember Tuesday. I don't know what happened on Tuesday. I feel like I just, did I sleep through an entire day? Because it's Wednesday now, and I very distinctly remember it being Monday. Right. Yeah, right. You know? And I can't explain that. I have no, the only way that I could explain that is, you know, like what you said, where we jump perceptions. And the way that that makes scientific sense to me is, because science to me, science and religion to me are very cohesive. They are both explaining the same things in different ways. They're just different translations of attempting to explain the same thing. And so from a scientific perspective, that makes sense to me because I am the constant. I am me. I am the variable that stays constant throughout. And the reality in which I live is the variable that changes.
Right.
So I don't know if that makes sense. But that's sort of how I explain it to me.
Yeah, I mean, and it makes sense, right? Because I do wonder, especially when you, whether it's just living or even if it's just like, say, you know, you get in an argument with somebody or whatever, you never said that, you, that's not what you did yesterday, or like whatever it is. Maybe I wasn't here yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, I was off in my fourth time around, you know, I don't know, but yeah, that does make sense. That does make sense for sure.
What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense in part. I believe that, you know, there's a lot of things that we just don't fully grasp. Right. I do think that there are some things that we're growing into every day. Right. And the realities of it, the realities of what we're talking about here continue to change and continue to shift. And, you know, we have to take those and then figure out how we're going to operate in it. Right. Because we could easily, you know, like you said, just go down the rabbit hole and keep going and keep going and keep going. And then we'll be down there and nobody would ever even talk to us because we'd be so weird that we couldn't, right? So I think it's just a matter of being able to take it where we, because I think there's value in it all and being able to affect our surroundings with it, right? And share it with people in a way where they don't feel like we're just crazy, but that we are helping to move something forward, helping to change the direction of where we are today, and helping to be better on the back end.
Yeah. Well, that brings up an interesting question that I have, and I play with this all the time, of I struggle with faith just in general, of like having faith, because I am a very concrete person. I need I mean, it's not to the point where I'm like, if I can't see it, then it's not true. Like that's not how I like operate it. It's just more of the idea of like, I just know myself well enough to know that I like to have, I want to be able to read a book about it.
Right.
And like that kind of a thing. And so it brings up an interesting question of like, are we meant to even, as human beings, are we even meant to fully understand everything? If we aren't, I'm okay with that. And how I became okay with that and reached a level of acceptance is that like, it's okay that I'm not meant to like know or understand everything. But the fact that I know that I am unable to comprehend or understand everything means that all of the questions that I have answers. I just don't know what those answers are yet. And that is exciting for me because that means that the answers are out there. I just have to find them, and I will find them when I'm meant to find them. Like when I need that information will be presented to me. So that's really, it's like an adventure. I look at it like that. So that's sort of how I've justified that answer. It's not a great justification, but it's just how I've decided to justify it. But if we are meant to know it, like if we are meant to know and understand all of these things, does that mean that we are meant to know and understand them right now? Or does that mean that we are meant to know and understand things just in a general sense, meaning like there's a chance that we already know the answers. It just might be in like a parallel universe. So like, it's just a different reality. Like we're just not there yet. We're making our way towards that reality. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Like, does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I believe that there are a lot of things that are mysteries and that they won't be revealed until it's necessary. I think there's sometimes where we walk into a situation and we don't know the answer, and we're not going to know the answer until it's revealed to us. And, you know, and it could be in a dream. It could be in a vision. It could be, you know, in some other type of revelation. But I feel like, you know, that's part of the journey, is that, you know, if we knew it all, then what would we be striving for? What would we be growing towards? And so for me, it's definitely exciting, like you said, to be at a place where there is some knowledge that's still left to gain, because then that pushes you, that drives you. If that's what you want, you know, if you want to know more, then you'll push and drive and try to achieve more. And so, you know, I think faith is a tricky thing. And I think you can use faith as a roadblock instead of as something that pushes you, because you can get locked into it and say, okay, you know, I'm waiting. My faith is going to produce it. But if you don't do anything towards that, then faith doesn't really have any action that's going to help you move forward.
That's so interesting that you compare faith to an action. I guess I never thought about faith being an action.
I think they help. I think I don't believe you have faith without an action, because if you're believing that this thing is going to work out through your faith, then you operate in that direction. Because if you only believe it, but then don't put any work towards it, then you don't really believe it. You know, if you're not really to invest something towards it. And so our faith has to have an action attached to it, or it just really doesn't move. It doesn't grow.
So like you kind of have to like meet your faith halfway. Like you do have like that, because it's a relationship, like with you and your faith. And so you have to, and relationships require, you know, two entities working cohesively together in order for it to work. And that includes like communication, trust, you know, all the stuff. So you have to meet your faith halfway. Otherwise it like is kind of pointless. If I'm understanding. Okay.
It's just something you put on a vision board and never really do anything to it. Right. It's just the fancy car you want on the board, but you're not doing anything with your finances to move you to that place. I mean, so there has to be some natural things that go with this supernatural thing in order for it to accomplish itself.
Yes, I like that. That's good. I like that. What about you, Shepherd? What do you think?
I kind of agree. I think that you do walk into it. It's interesting. And when you guys were just talking, I was kind of thinking of some things that have happened in my past or that has been pointed out. And, I think that we all have the answers. I do, but I think that it's a progression, of time, right? Because, if we think about, you know, you talk about history and stuff like that, back in the very, very, the early on the beginning, wherever you want to start, when people would have these abilities, if you will, you know, usually they were, witches. They're considered to be a witch. You're a witch. You're a devil. You know what I'm saying? Right. And it's really, it was a minimal number of people at that time. And then as time developed or time went on, linear, if you will, more and more people started to have, these types of interactions. Right. And then it became a little bit more mainstream, a little bit more mainstream, a little bit more mainstream, if you will. And even now still, you know, you talk about it and we're considered crazy. Right. I think that it's one of those things that you have to, we haven't got to a point as a society where we have accepted that this is a real thing. And I think that it's a slow progression to get there, but I think more and more of us are becoming in tune with it. And it's interesting because it seems to me, when you really see it, is usually at the very beginning and at the very end, when we're not being inundated or being forced to be part of a system and we lose sight of what we are. Right. Cause if you think about these, and this is a little bit off topic, if you will, but like some people say, like ghost, for instance, right? Like they say children can see them, right? And then you see them as a child, and then you lose that as an adult, right? Because your mind changes, you change your focus, you change your shift, you change everything. And maybe it's really not ghost. Maybe it's them seeing another reality of what it is. And the reasons why I say that too is on the backside of that, as you become older, something that, you know, and, you know, true story happened to me, like, I've unfortunately had to see multiple family members pass, you know, and be in the room when they do, right? But there's something, and, you know, even if you go back through the history and you read some of these autopsy reports or read some of these final moments of these people, and it's the same thing that happened with my loved ones, if you will. One of the big things, right before someone goes, right, is they always, for the most part, they always have this urge that they need to go to the bathroom, right? Yeah. Even if they don't have to, but they all do, right? And then if you notice or you look, most of the time, that person that's getting ready to go, they see something. There's something in the corner. They see somebody. They see whatever. And like even with like my grandfather, you know, he was just constantly staring off in the corner of this room where nothing was, and he was just always smiling. And it's like you'd ask him, do you see something there? And he'd say, yeah. You know, what is it? I don't know. And I won't know. But a lot of people that are getting ready to have these experiences where they're getting ready to pass, they see something. And is that moment of clarity, because nothing else matters, and they're going almost back to that childlike state where they're able to punch through and see the reality of what really is there. And it's not just this one plane that we're living on. I don't know. And maybe I won't know until I get to that point. But it's like you almost have to die, right? to experience, but you can't come back from that to tell that story. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I don't know if I like the idea that it's exclusive to children. And I think that the reason that I don't know if I like that thinking is because I'm a ridiculous person and I have thought before, like, I don't know if you've had, either one of you have had this experience, but like where, like the most recent experience that I would like akin this to would be my mom and I went to a casino and we were down a lot. We were playing the slot machines and we were not doing very well. And then all of a sudden this guy who I swear looked exactly like my grandfather, who is dead, has been dead for a very long time. I saw him and he came towards us, and as he was coming towards me and my mom, I very quickly realized that it was not my grandfather, but he handed us both like $100 bills. Because he was just like saying thank you for like, he was like playing one of the machines next to us, and he was just like saying thank you for like being so friendly or whatever, and like, you know, entertaining, you know, being nice. And after he walked away, I looked at my mom and I was like, that was granddaddy. Like, granddaddy came down from heaven, knew we were not doing well. And he looked like my grandfather. And for a few minutes there, I was like, oh my gosh, like he's not dead. Like the rational part of my brain was like, no, that's not, like, he's been dead for like 10 years. Like there's no way. That's why I just don't know if it's like exclusive to children, because I think that we all have those, like we can have those moments. And I just think that like, even as an adult, you just have to be open to it. You just have to be open to like, and it's entirely possible. I'm just crazy that it was just a guy who was just being really nice. And like, you know, like the rational part of my brain was like, you know, it's entirely possible, but I don't know. And I want to believe. I don't know if that makes sense.
I should clarify. Yeah. I mean, when I meant like exclusive, because so you are more advanced and you're more open. And I think that we are. I mean, that's why we're having this conversation. But I guess, I mean, when they say like a lot of people write it off to being kids or whatever, it's because like a kid is very open, you know, and untouched.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And then a lot of these people, they shut that off. You have it. And then a lot of people shut it off because they just get overwhelmed with, you know, job and work and whatever, right. And they're not in tune with it anymore, and they lose, like, they don't lose it, but you know, you get a little rusty, right?
Yeah.
you get a little rusty, you know, and they don't really kind of tune in the way that they should. And then you kind of pick it up again as you get older, because, you know, the wisdom and everything, and you're in a better place and you're a little more relaxed, and you're retired, so maybe you're not working 80 hours a week, and you kind of open yourself back up. And I think that's kind of why maybe we see it that way, right? Maybe those older people see it, have more interactions. The younger kids see it, more interactions, because they're not just, the receptors are not just busy doing nonsense, you know, chasing the dream that we think we need to have, but really we need to be getting in touch with the world, you know, and seeing what's out there. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I like that. That explains it. I like that. What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, you know, I think we get desensitized as we get older, right? Life begins to happen, and now we're dealing with, you know, careers and kids and family and all of the things that happen on a daily basis. And I think that youthfulness that exists in, you know, that untapped mind, that filter that we filter life through, isn't necessarily there in a kid all the time. And so I think they're more open to receiving some of those things in such a vulnerable place. But I do believe that we can tap into it. And I believe that happens, you know, by getting quiet, like some of the things that we all agree to, right? It happens mm-hmm. when we're quiet or when we're in a meditative state, and it allows your mind just to calm. And allows those things that have been kind of dormant to rise to the top. And I feel like that's really where it where it rests.
Ooh, I like that too. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for coming and talking to me. I really enjoyed this conversation. I will have to have you guys back if you would be willing to come back on.
Oh, for sure. This has been a blast.
Yeah, it's been great.
I like being able to have a conversation with you, and I keep telling people they need to check out your podcast because you have awesome topics and you're not afraid to just go all out. And you know, you don't really censor yourself. You say how you feel, and it is what it is. And I mean, this is not everybody's willing to do that, and this is great. So I appreciate you even having us.
Yeah, it's definitely been a good time.
Oh, good. Okay. That's always what I strive for. So if you want to, everybody go check them out, Deep Meaningful Conversations with Shepherd and Aaron. We will have to have you back on. I really enjoyed this conversation. I hope you did too. I hope you had a lot of fun. Go ahead and tell everybody what you're doing next, what's coming up, and where they can find you.
Well, we just put a new episode out now, and it's on there. It tackles some interesting conversations. We'll just call it bacon, lettuce, and mayonnaise and let everybody figure that out right now. So that is out there. But you know, we're trying to make great content. We're trying to keep up with you, right? We're trying to keep pushing out the good content. And they can just check us out at DM Convo on everything.
Ooh, okay. Thank you so much for coming on. It was really fun talking to you and having this conversation. I really enjoyed it. So thank you for coming.
Thank you. You have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey there. My name is Michael Amland, and I am the host of the Pedestrian at Best podcast. We are a topical show that discusses music, film, and culture through the lens of musicians, often with jokes. We have guests that will intrigue and make you laugh as well. Check us out at pedestrianatbestpodcast.com and join the fun.
Hi, I'm Sophie, and I haven't seen a lot of movies.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm here to help with that.
And we are SP Film Viewers.
Each week, we take a deep dive into films that Sophie is seeing for the first time, some of which are deemed classics, some of which are my favourites, and some are just to try and get a reaction from her.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we have a lot of fun talking about what we've watched.
And we hope you have fun listening to our light-hearted thoughts and ramblings on this cinematic journey.
So tune in every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts from.